Lord, we are grateful that even when life seems to be spinning out of control, that we can trust you, that there is peace. Jesus said himself, I've come that you might have peace. He said he gives peace, not as the world gives, but the peace that comes from above, a peace that is not contingent upon circumstances. And so even in the madness, let us experience your peace as you promised in your word, and let us be filled with your spirit. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to worship together today. In Jesus' name, amen. I am a husband and a dad. We have four children, and over the last 18 years, we've doubled that, so that now I have eight children, because I count each of my children's spouses as my own. And as of last Tuesday, Kim and I are now the proud grandparents of nine grandchildren, so that is a blessing to us. That being said, there have definitely been times when tensions and problems and conflicts have arisen that make life less pleasant, sometimes creating an atmosphere of genuine heartbreak and grief. All of us have been there. This is the human condition. In spite of what you may think about a pastor's family, we're not perfect either. We struggle with all the same things. And so at times our families have these kinds of issues. And in an attempt to work through such difficulties, there have been times where it's been necessary to call what we have referred to as a family conference. Some of you may have had such occasions. And at this family conference, we would directly address either a specific issue, or we would just generally attempt to bring improvement in the family dynamic as a result of some of the tension and the conflicts that are going on. Those conversations can be awkward. They usually are. And they can even be painful. But they have the potential of being very beneficial in the long run. And so at times we just have to buck up and go through that. What we experience as a physical family with our marriage, our children, our grandchildren, and the family dynamic can also take place and be found in a spiritual family, that is, amongst God's people within the church. We can have these conflicts. We can have these areas of disagreement and tension. In multiple points or portions of Paul's epistles, he directly addresses problem issues, sometimes regarding specific individuals, and he even ends up calling some names out, but usually it's in the broader context of the letters that he writes to a given church. And so, for example, when he writes to the Corinthian congregation, he has to deal with point after point after point where they are in need of some very specific direction as a result of conflicts within that congregation. James, in his epistle in the New Testament, writes very specifically about relationship problems, and he highlights these as he challenges his readers essentially to get their act together. When we get to the book of Revelation, it begins after a description of Jesus making this revelation. It then continues with Jesus' direct statements as he addresses seven churches in Asia. And five of those churches, he very specifically calls out problem issues and says, you need to get this fixed. I think each of these examples indicates that it's appropriate for us as a church to deal directly with problems when those problems arise. So this morning, I'm doing something that I've never done before. I'm not very comfortable with it, but after much prayer, decided this is the right thing to do, and we are going to have a family conference. Only I'm calling it a congregational conversation. So you have a page there with mostly blank space if you want to take some notes as we go along. And it is a family conference in that this is not just the pastor lecturing you as a church family any more than it would be a family conference if the dad merely lectured the rest of the family and then dismissed them. Rather, this is going to be an interactive time where we're going to share together. And I need to provide you with some context first so that we have a little bit better idea of what's going on. Now, some of you, no doubt, are aware that there have been conflicts and disagreements within our church family, amongst leadership and our church members in recent months, and even going further back than just months. And I would say to you right off the bat that such issues are inevitable whenever you have a group of people that are composed of human beings. And that's us. Because we are human beings that, although we would profess faith in Jesus Christ and claim to be saved, we have not yet been delivered fully from our sin natures. So our sin natures continue to cause us problems. And that ends up being manifested in relationship issues as well. For your information, our trustee chairman has recently respectfully submitted his resignation, and that resignation has been accepted by leadership. But I want you to be aware that both he and the rest of PCC's leadership continue to pray for unity and for God's best for the family of Perrunt Community Church. And we will continue to support one another in that direction. One particular area of weakness that is brought to my attention from time to time and is almost always on my mind is that both me and our leadership at large have often been guilty of inadequate communication. Now, I know that about myself merely because of my personality, but I also know that that's true within our leadership more broadly. And it shouldn't come as a surprise because anytime anyone has a relationship problem, almost always at the very top of this list of causes is communication. And so whether it's a marriage issue, a family issue, or church family issue, the likelihood is that at the top of this list is going to be this is a communication issue. And we have communication issues right now, I would suggest, at all levels of our church leadership that have contributed to an unhealthy dynamic that has brought frustration to many. I know it has brought frustration within leadership, and I would guess that it has brought frustration to many within our church family as well. At a recent Church Matters business meeting, discussion over areas of disagreement devolved into a misguided, chaotic, verbal dispute that only served to further divide the church rather than to build up the church. And with that context, I feel that it is necessary to have what we're calling a congregational conversation. And let me give you the purpose or the purposes for what we're doing here today. And I would give it in 3 points. And again, you're welcome to take notes if you choose to. First of all, we, the leadership of Perrunt Community Church, want to be transparent with our church family. Now, I know you hear this from Washington, D.C. all the time, and you think, yeah, right, like that's ever going to happen. And I recognize, once again, that's part of the issue of being human beings, is that we say one thing and we often do another. But you need to know as a church family that we do want to be transparent, which means that there are times we're going to have to deal with uncomfortable subjects, topics, issues, and this is an opportunity for us to do that. Secondly, we want to hear about any potential issues or problems or concerns that you have as our church family, and not just about the leaders, but whatever. And I know that some of you may have some thoughts like, well, I sure wish they would do this, or why don't they do that, or why do they handle things this way? And instead of just holding that within yourself and then begrudging the fact that we're not addressing those things, bring them to our attention. So this is the kind of opportunity that we want to provide today, is that if you have some of those things, this will be a chance for you to be able to express those, not in a threatening way, but in a way that's going to help bring about some solutions. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. And that goes across the board. And so that would be true as I speak with you and as you speak with me, is that God can use those things in both directions in order to help us develop. And then thirdly, we want to clear up any misconceptions that you may have about all that goes on here at our church. Now, we're not going to be able to address every misconception that might be out there. The likelihood is that there are certain misconceptions that I don't even know about. And so I'm certainly not in a position to be able to address them because I don't know they exist. But that, one more time, is an opportunity for us to say, here's the way I see things working. Is that right? And that'll give us a chance to say within leadership, yes, that is right, and here's the reason we operate like that, which may provide help for you. Or it could be that we would say, no, that's not at all the way things work. Let us give you a better understanding. And the whole purpose for this is, once again, communication and understanding. That being said, we need some parameters here. We need some guidelines as to how we go about such a congregational conversation. And I'm going to give you several Bible references right now that you may want to write down, something that you can look at later, because I think that you'll find these references to be helpful in your own personal life as well as you reflect on what we're doing here today. As senior pastor, I'm going to assume the authoritative role as the spiritual leader of this family. So as a dad who sits down with this family, I have a responsibility. As a pastor, the senior pastor who comes before our church family to have this kind of a discussion, I have that responsibility. As a matter of fact, I'm called to do this very thing. 1 Peter chapter 5 actually speaks to people like me who are in a position of pastor. And it says in 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3, shepherd the flock of God. Okay, the word pastor is actually another word for shepherd. So he's speaking to pastors like me, and he is saying, God is saying through his word to me as a pastor, I want you to shepherd the flock of God, and you, my church family, are the PCC flock of God. Shepherd the flock of God, he says, that is among you, exercising oversight. That is my responsibility as pastor. Not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. My calling and my desire is to shepherd you, my church family, in a way that would honor God and would serve as an example to you of this is how you should act and this is how you should live. Again, another command that is given to those in positions of leadership is found in Titus chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Declare these things. And the way that I go about that is going to include exhortation, which you get on a monthly or weekly basis as I have the opportunity to stand in front and open the Word of God to you. Rebuke, which means that there are times when a rebuke is going to be necessary and say, wait, you're on the wrong track here. This is not where God wants us. And a rebuke may be necessary, and to do so with all authority. So I am taking that authoritative responsibility because it is given to me. But he says, declare these things. The question would be, what am I to declare? Well, among other things, he goes on in the very next verse in Titus chapter 3, verse 1, to say, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. Just pause there. I, as pastor, am to remind you to be submissive to rulers and authorities. And that includes church leadership. Now, I'm not usually one that likes to get up in front and say, I'm your pastor, so you need to do what I say. That is not at all my style. But I will say that biblically, I have a responsibility to teach you the truth, and you have a responsibility to submit to those who are in authority, which would include me and your church leaders. So he says in verse 1 of Titus chapter 3, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. And verse 2 goes on to say, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. This is what I'm to remind you of. So today I'm reminding you of that. And if the need arises, I will bring this up again. Just a reminder, no quarreling, that you are to show perfect courtesy toward all people and be submissive. So I, as senior pastor, will be facilitating this discussion. Not dictating it, but facilitating it. That's my job. And all elected leaders and all church family, everyone here, are encouraged to participate directly. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. That's what we want today. A word fitly spoken. That doesn't necessarily mean you need to be in agreement with whatever someone has just said. But it does mean that we're going to conduct ourselves in a way that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. So we encourage your participation and feedback today. But I do ask that those who wish to speak will come to the front and will use this microphone. Would you please set this out here, Pastor Caleb? We want you to use the microphone so that it can be understood by everyone here what is being said, and then we can address it accordingly. And this is not just a dialogue between you and me. I may or may not respond to what is said, but I would encourage our church leaders to respond if there's a specific question about leadership. But when one of our church leaders responds, I'm going to ask you also, come to the front, say your name, and then share with us whatever you want to share. And the reason we're taking this approach is because 1 Corinthians 14:40 clearly says all things should be done decently and in order. So we are trying to keep things decent and with order. We want to do things the way that God would have them done. And all of our dealings with one another, not just during our congregational meeting, but at all times, no matter where you are, when you're dealing with other believers, no matter what may be going on, it must be guided by the Holy Spirit, and it must be based on biblical principles. And that's where, again, my responsibility comes in, to make sure you understand these biblical principles. For example, we are always to be loving in our interactions with one another. Whatever's going on, we have to be loving in our interactions. So we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And these verses that talk about how we communicate with one another, two different times, Paul emphasizes, the Holy Spirit gives us the instruction, it must be done in love. We speak the truth in love. We build one another up in love. Another biblical principle is that we're always to be ready to listen and slow to anger. James says in James 1, 19 and 20, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And we are to always speak graciously. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. No corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only talk that gives grace to the hearer. And then finally, another principle is that we are to always strive to encourage one another and to build one another up, which we've already seen in several verses. But 1 Thessalonians 5:11 puts these both together and says simply this, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So we are going to have a congregational conversation. I am going to be listening, occasionally responding perhaps, but I want our church family and our church leadership to feel free. So when you have something you'd like to share, come to the front, give your name, and share what you'd like. Thank you, Don.
Good morning. My name is Don Sutton. I'm a deacon in the church, and I've attended church here since 93, so I've been here a while. Lots of things have gone on in those years. I wanted to just express my take of what happened at our business meeting and what happened. We as the deacons proposed a salary for Pastor Caleb, and the salary was discussed and it was presented to the board to the congregation at this meeting, and we were rebuked for the salary that we proposed for Pastor Caleb. It was rejected, and that's okay. I don't think this conversation is primarily about money. I think our church, has done, sometime in the last however many years I've been here, we've sometimes run short, but we aren't in that case now. So really, this conversation isn't about money, but it is about Pastor Caleb, because that isn't the only thing that was. And as far as the salary, where I think we're going through the right procedure. We're taking it back. We are going to present another budget at the meeting in February 9th.
Yes.
Is that correct? Thank you. So anyway, that was part of the issue. And we're dealing with that. I think we're dealing with it in the right way. The other part is that there's misunderstanding, and I'm sure some of you right here this morning have a misunderstanding about Pastor Caleb. What is his role? What does he do? Why isn't he the youth pastor? I've heard all of these questions from different ones. Why is he still here? He was hired for, a short amount of time, and he was going to go into village missions. Why isn't he a village missionary? Okay, so those things have been brought up. And I would like to express what I feel and what I understand about Pastor Caleb and his role. I think in the last 7 years, is that it? 7 years, he has played an integral part in support for our lead pastor. And he has not been youth pastor. He's worked with youth many times. He has led Awana and been involved in those things. But he has provided that kind of support for Pastor that he needed during these years. And my main goal, and I believe the deacons are in agreement with you, is what does the future of our church look like? What are we going? Is he going to become youth pastor? Does he need to become youth pastor? Those are questions that are legitimate questions. And I would like to think about what is our church going to look like in 5 years and 10 years? What direction are we going to go? How are we going to reach our community? How are we going to serve the youth in our community? How are we going to serve the youth in our church? What are we going to do? And we need to address those concerns, and we need to do that. And I believe that Pastor Caleb will play an integral role in how we go forward, because of his background and because of the part that he has already played. I believe it is necessary as we move forward as a church. And so there have been misunderstandings on the leadership part and on other, people that are not in leadership. And we're not going to resolve all of those, but I think if we get them out there and talk about them, I think it will be valuable. So that's kind of where I am and where we are as leadership. I believe I'm speaking on behalf of the deacon board. They can say more if they want to, but that's the way I would like us to start out our conversation and give you an opportunity to speak too.
Thank you, John. Good morning, I'm Dave Goodman. I've been with this church for about 2 years now. I'm doing the best I can with God's help for the visitation ministries here. I'd like to read Matthew 18:15 through 18. I'm going to leave off 19 and 20 because they often get misinterpreted, so we don't have time to talk about all that right now. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, because you and him alone, or excuse me, between you and him alone, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to the church, let him be to you as the Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. With these words in mind, I think we often get it completely backwards. Instead of going to someone directly with an issue, we talk in either small or large groups, such as the business meeting, instead of going directly to the person. And I'm not pointing fingers as much as I'm looking at myself as well. Because I look out in this group and I see many of the people I've gone to, Kirk, Bob, Dave. We have both Leos here today. Charles, Pastor Caleb, and Pastor Keith, those are all people I have gone to for guidance. And in many cases, I realized I was speaking out of turn to them, to the point of possibly being called gossip. And that's something I've really got to search my heart about. So let's try to turn this around. I'm not criticizing this meeting either. We've had to come to this group session here because those individual conversations weren't had up front. So as Pastor Keith said, with love, let's try to continue this conversation today.
Thank you.
Another. Yeah, you can clap if you want.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Leo Bath. I've been a member at PCC for, I think, 3 years, 4 years now, but been attending here for the last 14 years. What I'm going to read was prepared for actually next month's meeting, budget meeting, and so I'll go ahead and read it now. I think it's appropriate. When I was informed about the church body was not in agreement on the budget December 8, 2019, I was stirred to do research, ask questions, and make observations for myself rather than make assumptions or assume. On December 19th, 2019, I sent an email dealing with these concerns to the deacons and trustees. With that said, I believe all good will come out of this and God's will be done no matter what the outcome. My study was based off of salaries and services in today's world. I do not believe I should be justifying one's work in the Lord for wages, but rather give a wage that is fair for a job description. The Lord will reward us spiritually for the works done, but the church body needs to look at the needs of the church, others, and be of all fairness when making these decisions. I believe that the truth must be taught and/or preached in the Word of God, which can only be done by the Holy Spirit, the one who dwells in us, which the world does not know, but we know personally. Without a personal relationship with God and knowing who teaches and leads us spiritually, the church body cannot grow spiritually. We do not judge, but we make each other accountable for our actions to make sure we are not of the flesh, but of the spirit of truth in all dealings with the church body and others. I ask that everyone supports each other in decisions made showing the love of Jesus Christ. If one is going to be of all fairness, they will be of the spirit of truth and will put forth the work to do research, ask questions, and or examine other material a brother in Christ has presented, no matter what capacity he may serve the Lord, rather than make assumptions or assuming. I pray that the attached information will help in making decisions and that each will examine themselves and the decisions made are in the spirit and fairness to glorify God. To start off, I want to state from my observations, I have never heard or witnessed a pastor or assistant pastor having money concerns. I also would never expect a pastor to ask for a pay increase because he is doing the will of the Lord and Savior by teaching and preaching the Word of God, shepherding and growing the church spiritually. This is where the Lord has led him, which is a gift from God. Jeremiah 3:15, then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. 1 Peter 5:2-4, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but for eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but providing to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Acts 20:28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. We all know the Lord provides for us in many different ways, but it is still our responsibility as a church body to observe and make sure we are also providing for the possible needs, whether it be for moral support, financial support, helping hand, etc., so that the pastors may continue to teach and preach without worries, distractions, or family pressures. This is also taking in consideration the growth of the church able to provide this need. The church body should be able to identify whether a pastor is of this world or not through the messages given to the congregation and their contribution to the growth of the church spiritually. I personally know that that Pastor Keith, Pastor Caleb speak by the Spirit of truth, the same Spirit that dwells in me, for the Spirit confirms it. This is why I attend and became a member at PCC. When the church body makes a decision, it should not be based on a worldly view, but of a spiritual view. We all who are of the Spirit of truth and faith in Jesus Christ should be able to identify that a pastor is not in a position for money, especially those closer to him, such as the trustees and deacons. 1 Timothy 5:17-18, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, or the laborer is worthy of his wages. It is unfortunate that few indulgent pastors who live lavish lifestyles get most of the attention. The reality is most pastors in America are not overpaid. Many are underpaid. This is one of the areas the church body is able to contribute. We, the church body, being one spirit, the same spirit, should be able to recognize the church family needs and look at it from a spiritual mindset to be of all fairness. Proverbs 2:6-9. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. In closing, this has brought to my attention that as a member, I need to get more involved. If one is making assumptions or assuming on what one needs or does, we need to get involved, go to the source, and do the research so that truth may be shown. I ask that the Lord will guide you and give you peace on decisions made going forward. I'd like to thank Pastor Keith, Pastor Caleb, and family, and the leadership and the congregation for what each of you contribute to Pahrump Community Church, and pray you all will make your decision spiritually when the time comes.
Thank you, Leo. Just a comment that Leo's sharing spurred, a reminder. He shared that he's been attending here, would you say 14 years? But he's been a member far less. So let me just repeat. Simply showing up on a Sunday morning does not make you a member of this church. You may well be a member of the body of Christ, and we rejoice as brothers and sisters in Christ because we don't need any piece of paper to say that we belong to the Church Universal, to the family of God. However, because a church is an entity that has to operate with certain business dealings, then we have to have a membership in order to effectively do that. And so in order to be a member, you must have attended the membership class and gone through that process. So even though I always say, and will say again, everyone is welcome at our Church Matters meetings, when it comes to voting, only those who have completed the membership class and who are on our members list are the ones that will be voting. And so as Leo has just shared, as a member, he feels that it is essential for him to be more involved. And I would encourage all of my church members for a greater involvement. And I would encourage all of you, members or not, to consider whether or not membership might be appropriate. Really, the only technical difference that's going to make is that you could vote at those meetings. Otherwise, we're all just one big happy family. Let's go with that. Okay, another comment. Yes.
Keith knows I'm not a public speaker.
Okay, name?
Virginia Clark. I have been a member for 7 years, about the same time Caleb started. I've seen Caleb improve each week, and we would be at a great loss to lose him. I know other churches have had assistant pastors that have left and that have fallen apart. I don't want to see that happen to this church. Caleb is a great person to have as assistant pastor. But as some churches pay their pastors by providing housing, utilities, and that is part of their wage, they make a lower salary. But I think any person that works as hard as Caleb needs to make a decent living for himself and his family. And that's my comment.
Thank you. Thank you.
How you guys doing this morning? My name is Luke, and I've been coming here for all my life. Just by a show of hands, how many of y'all care about money more than you do advancing the kingdom of God? Anyone here? No takers for that? All right, that's right. So when we let a physical issue divide us, we lose the spiritual battle unintentionally. And I was speaking to a few members of leadership here about how I could improve what I was trying to say in first service. When we let stuff divide this, and when we let a physical issue take our attention, we let other ministries that the saints need to be shepherding, we let that fall by the wayside, and that's a victory for the devil. Second thing is, what I just did up there, I pour hours into that, I pour days into that. That gets me nothing. Now, nobody's fault, it just does. Now, when someone works hard, they need to get paid for that. That's just straight up. So that's all I gotta say.
Thank you, Luke. Another.
My name's Michaela. I was just gonna say, Pastor Caleb, he's awesome. He really knows how to work with the youth, so you know, he works hard. Pay him money, you know. I was wondering, are we still like starting youth, like restarting youth group in March? Like, that's what I'm wondering.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I love Pastor Caleb.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Danny. I've been coming here since about 9 months before I was born. with the exception of 12 years that I lived away, so 20 of my 32 years I've been coming here, a member for about 3, I think. Commenting a little bit on what Leo said about getting involved and knowing what's going on, I'd like to see a little bit more emphasis, I guess, put on supporting families with kids. And it ties in with the meetings, because when the Church Matters meetings, the voting meetings happen, there's not really any access for childcare. And for us, the only other people available to watch our kids without us having to pay them, which we can't always afford to do, are already at the meeting. Likewise, I'd like to be involved a lot more in CDI or some of the other Bible studies that are available to us, but it's not really there. I've seen and heard a lot of people talking about how we want to grow families and have a younger family-based community for the church where we can glean from all the wisdom in the room. There's a lot of retirees here. Some of the things that we would be interested in doing happen in the middle of the afternoon when we're at work or kids are just getting out of school. So a lot of the scheduling things doesn't really support for people with young kids as well. So I don't know where I'm going to go with that, but
that's good.
I would really like to see a lot more support for kids and families with young kids.
Thank you. Let me just make an observation because I really appreciate your comment there. And we do want to be, we as one of our core values is that we value families and we want to promote family life and especially young families. And so let me just make the observation that obviously we could hire those to be child care workers during the different activities that we have, such as Danny just mentioned. But I think there's also a strong likelihood that there are people in our midst who could volunteer to serve the Lord in that capacity. And I'm not necessarily speaking to all of you. You know what your schedule is. But we need volunteers. And when you hear somebody say, hey, we could use some help with child care workers, and if your immediate thought is, well, somebody else can do that, keep in mind that that is the immediate thought of 99% of the people who are here, which means it doesn't get done. And then we end up with situations like this. We may end up, leadership is going to address this, thank you. We may end up deciding, yeah, we're going to use budget in order to pay for that type of child care. That's an issue in and of itself. But let me encourage you, if you hear something that you think, you know, maybe I could help, please don't stand around and wait for somebody to ask. I don't know what you're thinking, so come and tell us. I would like to help, and that would be a help. Come ahead, Guy.
Jan and I have been here with you folks since 2004. We moved to Pahrump in 2004, visited a number of churches in Pahrump, and settled on Pahrump Community Church to be our home church. And I would like to compliment Pastor Keith, Pastor Caleb on their preaching. I love the word and the great job they do preaching.
Thank you.
And then what I'm going to say in my remarks here, my few remarks, is nothing that Pastor Keith hasn't heard from me already over the years. Two major points. Number one has to do with their role and responsibilities. And I actually was looking on the Village Mission site this week. And what is the role of a pastor, of a Village Mission pastor? And there's two parts to it. The preaching, teaching, the making disciples, and then the involvement in the community. And that's the part I keep talking with Pastor Keith about, is our involvement in the community. As the youth heard, and we had a great retreat with them this past weekend. You guys are great. But they need leadership. They need support. So pardon the endorsement or plug there for that. Anyway, in Matthew 8, John 8, Christ says he is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. In Matthew 5, there's many references also, a number of verses about a light not being hidden and that we are the light of the world. I think we have a responsibility, not just the pastors, but we have a responsibility to become a light in the world of Pahrump. And somehow we need to get out of our seats and out of our comfort zone and do that. We need to be an encouragement for the pastors to do that, and we need to walk alongside of them. This community needs us. This community needs Jesus. And so as we're growing in the gospel under their teaching, we need to step out and share what we have and find ways to do it. That said, there seems to be quite a conflict on Pastor Caleb's responsibilities, but also on Pastor Keith's responsibilities. And I suggest we look at what Village Missions says their responsibilities are. We have leadership that is to hold them accountable, I assume, as a retired businessman. They have contracts with the church. And if we are not evaluating, if the leadership is not evaluating and holding them accountable, then that's their responsibility, not Pastor Keith and Pastor Caleb. We need to hold our leadership responsible. So I think what you're doing here today is wonderful. It's a great opportunity to maybe clear the air a little bit and help us go forward as a church.
Thank you.
I'm Leo Vath, Sr. Better hold this up here. My dad, how's that? I'm Leo Vath, Sr., and I'm not a member, okay? But there's a lot of people that come to this church that aren't a member. And there are members that can use you in their help. So sometimes it's necessary, I think, if you're a non-member and feel that you don't need to be, because you belong to another church or you belong somewhere else, and you don't want to get involved with some of the things that goes on with behind the scenes, but you have something to offer them. You can write down the things that you're capable of doing, send it to the leadership, and allow them to go ahead and use you if they have somebody that is in charge. In other words, if there happens to be a particular situation or a ministry that can use you as an assistant or a helper within that, and you show that capability, then they can able to come to you. Because if you're a non-member, the odds are you are not allowing the church to use your skills. So if you have something like that, just give it available to them. I've always given Pastor my capabilities so they know where I'm at. And so if you do that, at least they have the opportunity to turn around and ask you if you're willing to help in those situations. That's all I have. Thank you.
Good counsel. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Vince Clark. I've been attending here since 2012, a member since 2013. And I really don't want to be here at this moment, but I think it's important. First of all, we had three young people in a row talking about some things that were important to them. I would suggest that most of us, which is older people like myself, pay attention to that and listen. They are the future of this church, whether the rest of us want to admit it or not. So I think we need to take that to heart, and I think leadership needs to bore in on what we can do to be more appealing to the younger folks in our community. I just met a very nice couple this morning, Juan, and I want to see more people like Juan in this church, because that's the only way we can really grow, with people like Juan and his lovely family. But if we're not attracted to them, they're just going to go elsewhere. The second thing is, I'm probably like just about everybody else in this congregation, I did not attend the last meeting that brought us to the point where we are here today. Shame on me for that. But I've heard any number of different things about what was said and went on at that meeting. And frankly, that's bad. I think the rest of us, seeing as how we are at this juncture where we are today, really need to understand what was said and what was put forward in a very clear and concise manner, because there are more rumors flying around here than flies on a carcass. That needs to stop. Let's get it figured out what was said. and we can decide where we want to go from there. That means the rest of us are going to need a little history lesson here, however painful that may be. But as to Caleb, when we first got here in 2012, he was this young guy who was probably, like all the rest of us, a little scared of speaking publicly. And he would run through his sermons, and you'd have trouble trying to keep up. And I've seen him grow from that to what he is today, which is a consummate professional. This isn't the same guy that he was in 2012. Now, I didn't have a hand in that. Caleb, and I would assume his dad had a whole lot more to do with that than any of us did. But he's grown exponentially. I don't know what an associate pastor is worth in terms of monetary compensation. I'm sure that none of the rest of us do either. But I think it's something that we can independently come to some sort of a conclusion on. So first of all, I'd like to hear about specifically what happened last month and at the last meeting factually, so that we know what we're talking about instead of D all the above. And secondly, I'm 70 years old. I've attended churches my whole lifetime. I've been to some really great churches and some really awful ones. And the ones that failed, and I count them as being four, all died by suicide, by faction. Churches do that. I don't get it. We're supposed to be about salvation in the Lord. The rancor and the anger and the hatred that comes out during the suicide by faction process, Satan has just got to be having a wonderful time. Let's not go there. Let's get the truth. Pastor Keith is here. He can tell us. We have church leadership here. The folks are here. They can set us straight about what happened, and then we can decide where we need to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Vince.
The next meeting is February the 9th. It'll be a Sunday afternoon at 5:00.
Good morning. My name is Danielle. My husband and I became members of this church last year during the last membership class that Pastor Keith held. Our oldest son has been coming here to Prump Community Church Preschool since 2016. He was actually the reason why we started coming to this church, because he would come home from kindergarten talking about Pastor Caleb and, excuse me, I'm kind of nervous, talking about the chapel day on Wednesday that typically Pastor Caleb leads up. I think that Pastor Caleb should get a livable wage to support his family. The Bible talks about the order of the family. And I think it's important that Amy, now that they have their first baby, be home to raise that baby. The world is in a bad place right now. Excuse me. And I think that kids need to be raised by their parents instead of by daycares, so that we can teach them the truth, God's truth. Because, like I teach my cubbies, God's word is truth. And they need to know that, because coming up, you have all these parents who emphasize that the Bible is not real, God is not real, it's not important, it's all make-believe, and it's, quite frankly, destroying the family dynamic. Pastor Caleb is always here on the way to drop off my son to school. His truck is parked at the church. I've seen him at every event. He's here preaching to the Awana ministry every Wednesday. anyways, that's basically it.
Thank you,
Pastor Daniel. Caleb is awesome. I think it would be a loss of a major asset if he were to go elsewhere.
Thank you. Let me address a couple of the things that have been said as we kind of wrap things up here. It sounds like that this could go on for a little bit, but we do need to answer a couple of those. First of all, Danielle, thank you very much for the emphasis on a livable wage. We would acknowledge that there's going to be differences on what one considers a livable wage than another, and so those are understandable and proper differences. We have to work through those things and decide. More importantly, you need to understand that as far as salaries go, neither my job nor Caleb's is on the line. This does not have anything to do with whether or not we stay and minister here. You folks have been generous to a fault with us, and I'm grateful for that. You take care of all of my needs. Yes, Pastor Caleb's salary ended up being a major area of discussion and dissension at that last meeting, but it's not like he has requested a raise and the church is unwilling to give it. Neither of us has requested raises. Generally, we have stayed out of that deliberation and let the leadership handle that. And as Pastor Caleb has shared with me, regardless of what they do with the salary, even if they leave it the same, until the Lord leads elsewhere, I intend to stay here. That's his comment. And so I think in terms of our service here, you need to understand that I'm committed to our church. The Lord may move me elsewhere, and that could be done by you. You could say as a church, Pastor Keith, we think that your time here is up. And if you were to vote on that and say yes, that's God's clear leading for me, and Kim and I would go wherever the Lord has for us. And Pastor Caleb is in exactly the same situation right now. It could be that God would use, you know, there has been some discussion within our church family about whether or not Pastor Caleb should stay. There's been some discussion about even firing Pastor Caleb. And I don't think that's the direction we want to go. But if the church were to decide that's the right way to go, then Pastor Caleb and Amy would merely accept that as God's guidance, and they would move on from there. And so it is not a financial issue. Don, thank you for bringing that up. This is not a financial issue. Our discussions have to do with what is appropriate financially, and this indeed has been the topic of several meetings of the leadership, a meeting of the church family in December, and it will be the topic of our decision that we made at our February meeting. And so I would agree with several of you that, yeah, you should be there, because if we want this to reflect what our church actually desires, then be there to debate that and come up with whatever the decision may be. In answer to Vince's question of what actually took place, Pastor Caleb was not at the December meeting. I was not at the majority of it because I was excused partway through. And so all I have to go on is the reports that I've heard, and as similar from some of the things I've already heard today, that meeting was not a pleasant meeting. It got out of control, and it should not have. And leadership has had a lot of discussion about that, and we recognize it, and we are intent to try to exercise the proper biblical authority and responsibility in order to keep things where they need to belong. So I really can't answer all of those questions. I can tell you that that particular salary was one issue. There may have been some other salaries that were the same. There was a very slight increase that was recommended for me. I don't know whether that one was a discussion or not. It really doesn't matter to me whether it was or not. But there were salary issues more than anything else. And so in answer to your question of what was the issue, it was salary issues. And who makes that decision? Ultimately, our church family is going to make the decision by a yea or nay vote. We expect our leadership to work together to come up with a proposal, and the conflict occurred because within the leadership, we could not agree on the best proposal, and we're still in the process of working that out. So that just gives you a little bit of background. Again, I would say to you, me being here, Pastor Caleb being here, we are here unless the church asks us to leave or unless the Lord gives some very clear direction otherwise, and I don't see that being a financial issue at this particular point in time. So I hope that does help. This should all underscore the need for prayer. We must be praying about God's will. we must be praying for unity within our church family. When we show up at a Church Matters meeting, and if you're a member, I expect you to be there. I know some of you say, I don't travel at night. Well, call somebody that does and see if they can give you a lift. Be here so that you can be involved. Of all the things that a church member does, voting on that type of thing is essentially the only thing that makes you different from a non-church member. We're all members of the body of Christ if you've accepted Christ as Savior, but only members are allowed to vote. So show up and do your job. That's what I'm telling you. And we'll vote on it. And if we have some debate and discussion from the floor, we'll take that and we'll trust the Lord to lead. And here's the key. There may be differences of opinion. That does not necessarily make anyone spiritual or non-spiritual. We're not always going to agree. But God has given direction to the church, so we need to operate within those parameters. And when it comes to a congregational rule church such as ours, when we take a vote, if the vote goes your way, praise the Lord. If the vote does not go your way, praise the Lord and trust that God's Holy Spirit was in charge of the process. And that's the bottom line. So I would encourage you, we don't need to fight about these things. We should discuss them. We will acknowledge our disagreements. We will come up with a proposal. We will vote the proposal as a church family, and we will be unified. That is the key. Now, something was said early on about comments that were being made outside the context of a church gathering such as we have. And so I want to warn you, do not gossip. Romans 1:29 and following gives us a list of sins. And in that list, gossip is listed right alongside murder and hatred of God. So if you think gossip isn't serious, you better look in the scriptures. And by gossip, we mean you talking to somebody else about something that you have no involvement in and that you have no say in, and you're merely talking for the sake of spreading something, whether it's because of your own negativity about it or whatever it may be. Don't do that. That is gossip. Proverbs tells us that among the things that are an abomination to God is one who sows discord among the brothers. One who sows discord within the church family. So here I am playing dad, and my family here, there are times I'm going to have to say, what you're doing or what you said, don't ever do that again. And I have to do that because I'm the dad. I'm the responsible party. So here I am playing dad. I am the senior pastor. So I say to you in all love, but with absolute firmness, don't gossip. It's sinful. It's wrong. It divides. It destroys. You are playing into the devil's hand when you do that. So don't do it. That does not mean that if you've got a concern, you're not allowed to share it. You just go to the right people to share it. You come to me. You come to our leadership. And you share it respectfully and with love. And you share it in a way that says, here's my opinion. And now I'm going to leave those whom God has put in positions of authority to figure out the best way to handle that. And you leave it alone. So I speak firmly here because this has to be said. And I know you're never going to find a church where that does not take place. But let's work on this being one of those. Let's work on this being a church where God is glorified. I must tell you, I love my church family. I always have. As much as I despise the desert, I love my church family. I don't want to be gone from here. You folks are my family. We love you. And this has been one of the most loving and supportive church families I've ever been a part of. And I approach this meeting with an anxiety that probably goes way beyond anything you can imagine that I would have had. Because I don't like to have to do this. But it needed to be done. And I feel like that we're making progress. And that we, at least as a whole church now, are aware of it. And by the way, when I say don't gossip, that only not only applies to you saying, don't do that. It also applies if you're thinking, well, I don't do that. If somebody comes to you and starts to say something, you need to shut it down. You need to say, wait a minute, how am I involved in this? And if I'm not, I don't want to hear it. You take it to the person that you're concerned about, because that's the Matthew chapter 18 model. So not only do not gossip, do not allow your ears to hear gossip. You need to stop it. You need to shut it down, because that's what honors God. I love my church, and I'm convinced that we have great things that God's going to accomplish here. I look forward to years more of service here with the Lord doing things that right now none of us can imagine, because the Bible says He is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. And as weak as my faith is, I keep holding that out saying, Lord, do it, do it, do it. And that's where we're at today. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for our church family. Thank You that we do love one another. We're not always in agreement, and that's okay, because we're human beings in the process of sanctification, and none of us has arrived yet. So help us where we're not in agreement to handle it in a godly and loving way. And help us to entrust to You the final outcome of any decision that our church may make, and any decision that we make as we're striving to do things Your way. Lord, I thank You for those who have shared today, and some who may have wished that they could but didn't have the opportunity. I pray that they would come to me or to another church leader and share what's on their heart. And I pray for any guests that may be with us today, somewhat of an awkward time to sit down as a stranger when a family is having a family conference. But I pray, Lord, that You would encourage their hearts to know that this is sometimes what we have to do, because this is life, this is reality. But we want to do it in a way that pleases You. So please, Lord, continue to pour out Your blessings on Pahrump Community Church. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.